So hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie.
I'm Tux.
We be drinking, we be swearing. This is a show where we talk about whatever the hell we want. Formats are so 2020, don't you know?
Yes.
we're kind of doing like a wrap up of the Trump administration, giving our thoughts and feelings on
thoughts and prayers.
The waking nightmare we just came out of.
It's so weird. I was just thinking, like, I expected to feel this huge sense of relief and, like, for everything to just go back and felt like everything was normal. But
nope.
I feel like our brain chemistry has been completely rewired.
Yeah, I think trauma does that to
you. Yeah. I can't wrap my head around the fact that he's not there anymore and that we have, like, a normal, real politician in office.
Yeah, I don't know. I did feel a bit of a relief. I've had feelings of relief in waves since he...
I definitely felt relief while I was watching the inauguration. It felt so necessary after all the lies that Donald was telling for so long. And even after the election, the whole, like, stop the steal bullshit. These people who are literally trying to steal the election while they scream stop the steal.
Yes.
Like...
in front of our eyes, boldly.
Yeah. And then to have Biden actually seated as president... felt really cathartic and really, like, positive. But then immediately afterward, I was like, I'm still on edge. To this day, I'm still like, whoa, something's bad.
So, I know.
You know? But there is still a lot of bad stuff that we have to be dealing with.
Yeah. I couldn't watch the inauguration. I was so annoyed by just all the things that had preceded it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the raggedy-ass coup, like, the Supreme Court unanimous decision, like, the stop the steal... it just felt so heavy, and I was just annoyed how quickly the news shifted from what we had all just witnessed the week prior.
Yeah.
But I know that it had to be that way because it was the inauguration, and it's this event that happens on this day, and then that's all that's reported. But it just felt like so much wasn't over yet.
Yeah, and stuff still isn't over. But it definitely felt like everybody, after this raggedy-ass fucking... failed coup attempt by the redneck
right-wing extremists.
Yeah,
it wasn't just rednecks.
No, I know, I know. It just felt like everyone was upset and everyone was angry, and that's all they were talking about for two whole weeks.
Yeah,
and then as soon as the inauguration, everyone just dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about it anymore.
I know,
because we're not doing anything about it.
I know, that is part of why I couldn't watch the inauguration, because it just felt like such a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Like we were just being gaslit to believe that everything's okay now. Look, new president.
It's clear that the impeachment isn't going anywhere.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Susan Collins.
Despite Mitch McConnell talking a big game right after the terrorist attack.
And then immediately backtracking. Yeah. Surprise, surprise. Shocking no one.
Trumpism is the Republican Party.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, at this point they've...
it's one and the same.
Yeah. Susan Collins is now trying to get Republicans on board to censure Trump so that he can't run for office again, even though he will still have all the other benefits of having been president.
We're still paying for his security.
Yeah, exactly. Which is such a shitty compromise. But for some reason, the GOP is totally fine with an armed insurrection and a violent overthrow of our government as long as it's their guy that did it. Yeah.
It's really upsetting. I'm trying to remain hopeful, but like you, I am still on edge because so much remains unresolved.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's a will to really do what's right.
Yeah. They have the federal prosecutors. I looked this up as of the end of January. Federal prosecutors have arrested 172 so far from the failed coup attempt.
Okay.
And
five people are still dead.
Yeah.
60 plus were still injured. I know. Property damage, but
yeah. They've opened 400 investigations into criminal charges. But even the charges that they're being held up against have like the weakest ass penalty. Yeah. Trespassing on government property, which is like a max sentence of 1 year. Max.
Yeah.
Which they're not going to get.
Nope.
And it's so important that we show that there are consequences for these actions because...
it will come back around.
It's going to happen again otherwise. Even with Biden in charge.
No, it will happen again.
Yeah.
Because it's not being taken seriously in any meaningful way.
Yeah. If we don't shut it down now and nip it in the bud now and show that there are consequences, serious, real consequences, the next time is going to be worse. And we're not doing anything.
I know.
And fucking turd Cruz and that monster Josh Hawley.
Yeah.
There's all these Q people that are now in Congress.
Marjorie, yes.
Oh my God.
She is really, really dangerous.
Yeah. And that Loeffler woman.
Oh, yeah.
That like tries to come into Congress with guns with every guns, day yeah. and like gave a tour mm-hmm. the day before the coup. Yep.
Are they going to look into that? No, probably not.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying AOC is trying to push for an investigation into that stuff, but the Democrats.
I'm glad that she exists. I'm glad the squad is out there at least giving some window dressing to the Democratic Party. But like, she voted for Pelosi, and like, I am yeah. so unimpressed by her.
Yeah.
She's just going on. She says one thing, like, walk the walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
The talk is great, but she's not walking the walk, and it just. It makes me so sad. But I love Cori Bush. I think she's.
I was just going to say, Cori Bush is real, like the one person that's yeah. really trying to fight.
Yeah, she's like a real. I mean, AOC was a real person, is a real person, but she's already kind of. I don't know.
I feel like voting for Pelosi, like you have to play the game at the same time as walking the walk. Pelosi is going to win no matter who you vote for. Mm-hmm. And if you try and at least symbolically show support.
Yeah.
Ideally, I think she's trying to be like, we're on the same team.
Yes. Go Let's work together. Liberalism. Yeah.
But like hoping that she can get support from the Democratic Party so. If she plays the game.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's not going to happen.
No.
The Democrats don't.
The Democrats and the Republicans, they're two wings of the same party.
Yeah. And I mean, there are significant differences, but I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. I mean.
They're both for corporate.
Yes.
Interests.
I think Democrats kind of, for the most part, they understand that. White supremacy is like the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that it's the room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The room is made of white supremacy. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't get it. Like yeah. they're almost there, but like they're still just pointing to this one thing.
Yeah.
But it's like it's everything.
QAnon is the elephant. The room is white supremacy.
Yes. But I think Q is super dangerous in all the ways, but I think they're gonna split. They might come up with their own party.
There's already talk of like the Patriot Party or something like that. But I do think a lot of people have been turned off to Q recently and a lot of people are leaving. But that's not, even if Q falls apart, that's not going to put an end to fascists.
Yeah.
And fascism in the GOP.
Yeah.
Even if it's not under the name QAnon, there's still going to be fascism under the GOP.
I would love to see them split apart.
Yeah. Josh Hawley really scares me and I really feel like he doesn't look like a monster in the way that Donald Trump and Turd Cruz do. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not like attractive, but he's not unattractive.
Yeah.
And he's young and well-spoken. And I feel like he's going to be able to smooth talk people into fascism in a way that.
Possibly, but I don't know if he has that kind of connection to your everyman.
Yeah.
Because they all went to Ivy Leagues. Like, yeah. I think he went to Princeton and
but
Stanford.
But so did Trump. Trump yeah. like shits in golden toilets and everybody's yeah. still like, that's the, like, I want to be just like him.
Yeah.
I want a fucking button that, so a butler will bring me a
Dr. Diet Pepper. Coke. Oh yeah, Diet Coke, that's right.
On a silver tray.
A Diet Coke button. I don't know. I feel like if Q could become its own party, then there is hope for a progressive party to split off from the Democrats because we need to get away from them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They're not, they don't have our interests
yeah.
at heart at all. They just yeah. say that they do.
Yeah, exactly.
And they grift a little less, but they're not really about systematic like changes that need to happen.
I mean, they are more better.
Yeah.
But they're like.
They're the lesser of two evils. Absolutely.
They're doing the bare minimum. Whereas
yes. Sometimes not even.
Yeah.
Trump. Again, nothing is all good or all bad. He exposed us for who we are at our core. And I think that was a gift.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I really do think that there is a real possibility for good, real good to come from yeah. this. There's always.
I call it the Caucasian awakening.
Ooh, I like that.
I heard someone on a podcast say it. I'm like, oh my God, this is the best word ever.
Yeah. There is always, in politics, there's always a pendulum swing from left to right and yeah. left to right.
Nothing is linear.
The harder we push one direction, the harder it swings back the other way. So I really do think that it's possible for us to see some real meaningful change because of Trump. But I also think that for that to happen, we have to stop fascism.
Yeah. Ooh.
Because otherwise, we're just going to keep swinging right.
Yep. That's what Fred Hampton tried to tell us.
Yeah.
If we don't stop fascism, it will stop us all.
So scary.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brandon from Peculiar Picture Show, the podcast that talks about movies, maladies, and mental health.
And this is Maria, also from that podcast.
So we were wondering, do you like movies? Do you like mental health?
Oh boy, do I ever, Brandon.
Well then, I've got a podcast for you. Peculiar Picture Show is the podcast for you because it is about movies and mental health.
That's right. We use movies to talk about mental health issues like borderline personality disorder, social issues like systemic racism, and other things.
Like how bad Shakespeare in Love was.
Yeah, sometimes we just talk about how bad the movie is.
And we really talked about that one. But sometimes we have games. Maria used to be a teacher, and so she loves to quiz people.
I really do.
So check us out online at peculiarpicture.show. That's our website, and you can stream all episodes there.
Or you can find us on any major podcast channel.
Do you have anything more you want to say about Q before we move on to something else?
Let me see. I made some notes about how Q is self-sustaining, and they don't need for these formal drops to even happen anymore because it's a shape-shifting, self-sustaining conspiracy vortex. And that's really scary.
It's so bizarre what they believe to and that people really believe this stuff, like actually fully committed, believe that there are like...
it's a cult.
Yeah.
It's a cult mentality. You're so swept away by a charismatic leader that it renders your cerebral cortex like inactive, basically.
Yeah.
And usually you're pulled in by a family member or a close friend. It's not just like some stranger on the street handed you a flyer. These are people that you trust who brought you into this cult.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to get out of. I was telling Tux earlier today that I'm lurking on this Reddit, this subreddit group called QAnon Casualties. And it's this really nice space for people to kind of come out as ex-Q members.
Yeah.
And talk about the way that they had to let go of their family or they some of them got divorced. Like some of their kids don't talk to them.
To get out. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know that's happening with a lot of people because of Q, too, though. People are getting divorced and breaking up with their family because they believe it and the rest of their family thinks they're crazy.
Yeah.
For that to work as like a support system, they have to be positive. You can't just stand there and like point and laugh.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to help them want to do better.
It's a really positive space where they're able to just be open about, you know, the fact that they were duped.
Yeah.
And the fact that they bought into this white supremacist, like anti-Semitic lie.
Yeah.
And just where they go forward is really, I don't know. I went there to just be creepy and I thought maybe it'd be funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah.
Like some people, their lives have been destroyed by this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're picking up the pieces and it's really sad.
It is really sad. I just hope that they are committed to being against fascism and white supremacy in the way that they're committed to no longer believing in conspiracy theories.
Yeah. A lot of them are saying like, okay, you got me once. Yeah. Like now I see it.
Okay, good. That's incredible. Yeah. I really, you know, it has to be positive. It has to be like reassuring and coddled a little bit.
Every now and then there are people who are just not about the group. They're just there to laugh at these people and be like, you're white supremacist, like, you know, fuck you.
I mean, I feel that, but that's not productive. Exactly. That's not helping anything.
But there are moderators that quickly jump in and like, you know, block these people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what needs to be done for it to work as like a form of therapy and
yeah, it's like a safe space for them.
Yeah, exactly. As much as they deserve to be read. I just, that's not the place for it.
Yeah. It's almost like 500,000 people.
Really? Mm. 500,000. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That gives me hope.
Yeah.
If they're also committed to anti-fascism and white supremacy. For me, I would just want to point and laugh. I want to.
Yeah. That's kind of why I went there, to be honest. Yeah. I'm just like, QAnon Casualties. What is this shit? I thought it was going to be like Trump Gretz.
Yeah. I saw this TikTok video and the woman ended it by saying, have the day you deserve. And that's like my new favorite thing. And I want to just say that to Q people. Have the day you deserve.
The only way to get these people back is to coddle them and make them realize like, it's good that you're out, but you did real damage. And like, what do you do going forward?
Yeah, that also has to be part of like, it's not just the anti-fascism and anti-white supremacy, but also like, you need to do the work now to fix this.
Yeah.
With your other family members or whoever helped bring you into this, you need to help other people out of it and fix this.
Yeah.
Well, in the name of fixing this mess, now we have a President Biden.
Oh, man.
I have a lot of hopes.
Me too.
For the Biden administration.
Me too.
I have like a checklist of things that I hope to see. I hope that his administration focuses on climate change.
Yes, that should be first and foremost.
Yeah.
After this pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, we can walk and chew gum.
Yeah, exactly.
We should be able to do everything.
Yeah.
Because we need to do everything.
I hope we focus on like a real COVID vaccine plan that like makes sense and is well organized. I hope that we focus on returning children that were separated at the border to their families.
Yeah.
I hope that we close the detention camps at the border and abolish ICE. I hope that we also focus on healthcare. But of all of those issues, I think that healthcare is the one that I have the least amount of faith in Biden.
That makes me so sad because we are in the middle of a pandemic. This is the perfect time to institute a government plan.
Yeah.
But instead, the government is leaving us for dead, and it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, it's so...
And he even promised everyone another $2,000 and then was like, oh, well, you already got $600, so now it's going to be $14.
So it begins.
Yeah.
It's just so upsetting to read about other countries and, like, what their response to COVID.
Everyone is getting money every week. And, and everybody gets free healthcare. And we're, like, the only nation in the developed world being treated like...
No, we're just being disposable. Left on our own. Yeah. It's really disgusting, and it's just, it's hard not to be really, like, disenfranchised by it all.
I know.
Because I really thought that this would be the moment.
It should be the moment, but Biden has a history of protecting pharmaceutical companies.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he has tons of ties to big health insurance companies.
He's from Delaware.
Yeah.
Like,
the tax haven.
Yeah, the place you go to set up your phony business.
Yeah. He has been vocally against a single payer healthcare system since the beginning of his campaign. So to think that it's just going to happen because all of a sudden he has a change of heart is lunacy.
Yeah.
He had health insurance executives were throwing him fundraisers during his campaign. And one of his top campaign aides was an insurance lobbyist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not happening.
Yeah, that's not happening. Don't hold your breath. Okay. Unless we really push it hard enough, if people really... I'm so conditioned at this point to believe that nothing we do matters because the president sees himself as all powerful because Trump was in power so long.
Yeah.
But I want to believe that Biden is different.
Yeah.
And I want to believe that it is possible to be like, no, I know that you think a single payer system isn't the way, but like, that's what everyone wants and everyone needs.
And that's what the rest of the world is doing. Every other developed nation has.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how is every other nation doing it wrong? Yet look at their COVID numbers.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we're doing it right. Like, it's just, COVID has really shown our ass. It's really bad here. I think some Americans do realize how bad it is here, but it is really... only Brazil has worse numbers.
Yeah.
India is close, but like, we are doing poorly. Like, we are failing. We have an F- in COVID response.
Yeah.
Like, it can't get any worse. It's just really shameful.
Thankfully, Biden is saying that he wants to turn that around at least, even though he's not.
Yeah, let's get us up to a D-.
Yeah, exactly. He's saying he wants to give us 100 million vaccines in his first 100 days in office. I don't know how realistic that is, but if he really focuses on it, I think it is possible, as long as he can get the vaccines from the pharmaceutical companies. He has done some really good things already. It's early yet.
Yeah.
It feels like it's definitely not enough, but it is early yet.
He's doing something, which is more than nothing, which is what Trump was doing. Nothing.
He's inflicted 4 years of damage, and it's going to take a long time to fix that.
Yes.
I was fully prepared for Biden to get into office and basically just be like, business as usual, pretend nothing happened. But he has done a lot. As of today, when we're recording this, so far he has put forward 17 executive actions and 15 executive orders. And some of them are very exciting. It is not enough, but I'm hoping that it points to what's to come.
Yeah.
I hope that it's just a sign.
I hope it's like a building momentum.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the biggest and first things that he really did focus on was climate change stuff.
Good. That's so great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I heard about the immigration stuff.
Jill Biden is supposed to head a task force to reunite the remaining children that were separated, were the ones that they can't find their families because they're not trying to.
Yeah.
But Jill Biden is supposed to head that up. And he ended the zero tolerance policy that created this whole family separation thing in the first place. But that largely is just symbolic because Trump hasn't even really been using that policy for the past 2 years. He kind of stopped fucking with that in like 2018 because he got so much resistance against it. So like ending it is kind of like just on paper. In actual actions, he hasn't really done much for immigration reform yet. But he's saying that he wants to, which is a good thing, which is really positive. Yeah. With climate change, he rejoined the Paris Agreement already, which is huge.
Yeah.
He ended the license for the Keystone XL pipeline, mm-hmm. which is huge.
Yes.
He's really saying that climate change is going to be a huge focus. And
it has to be.
Yeah. He also overturned the Muslim ban already. He overturned the transgender military ban, which is huge. Mm-hmm. He said we're not going to withdraw from the World Health Organization. Trump kind of set that up, but it hadn't really officially happened yet.
Okay.
We're not actually like rejoining it. We're just like stopping ending it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's done a bunch of climate change things, but he also has said that he is not going to ban fracking.
What?
He's like dead set against banning fracking, which sucks. It's so damaging and dangerous.
Yeah. Industry really has a hold on him.
Exactly. And that's what scares me. He has the most diverse cabinet in history, but he's also putting weapons manufacturers in the Pentagon.
Yeah.
So like he's not a saint. He's not our savior.
Yeah, Raytheon people.
Yeah. We really need to keep on top of him. I guess the point of what we're saying here is that like now is not the time to get complacent.
Yeah.
I know that we've been struggling for the past 4 years and it's been really hard. It's been exhausting and everyone just wants to take a breath.
We have all aged in dog years.
Seriously. But now is not the time to get complacent and relaxed. Now is actually more important that we are vigilant because we actually have somebody in office that is going to at least be open to listening in a way that the last president wasn't. So maybe he won't do all the things that we want. He will not do all the
Absolutely
things that we want.
Not, yeah.
But at least if we push hard enough, he might be malleable. I was very excited when he announced that he was ending federal contracts with private for-profit prisons.
Oh, yes.
It looks amazing on paper, and I was so excited. But Except then when you read the fine print, he's not ICE. Ending private prisons for
detention.
Immigrant detention centers. And in reality, most for-profit private prisons are run on a state level, not a federal level.
Yeah, so exactly.
What he did is largely symbolic.
Yeah, and he said he's going to end it, which means it's not ending today. He's not renewing their contracts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's symbolic and it's cute. It's better than nothing, I guess, but I want to see real policies that change things.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any other things that you hope that he focuses on besides?
I just had like general hopes, not really just for Biden, but
I
would love to see Stacey Abrams as the head of the DNC.
Oh my God, yes.
I think that could change things. That could fuck the game up for real.
I mean, she's so good at organizing.
So good. And she's proven that the South is not like a red state. It's just it's a voter suppressed state.
Yeah, basically. And if we focus on, oh my God, that's
if we can
another
let
thing.
Black people vote, like we can actually enact changes in this country. Yeah.
I didn't say this before, but another thing that we need to add to the list of hopes for the next 4 years is
Voting Rights Act needs to be.
Oh my God, the Voting
Rights
Act
made real again.
Yes, we need to re-up the Voting Rights Act, but we also need to end gerrymandering. We need to repeal Citizens United.
Yeah, we need ranked choice voting.
Yes.
I think we'll have it in 4 years.
I think ranked choice voting is possible.
Have it in 4 years.
I think it's going to be a slow burn where states across the country start doing it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to reach a tipping point and then we're going to be like, okay, federally, let's do it too.
Yeah. We just need 50% of the states.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think it could even be like 30 or 40% before the federal government was like, oh, it looks like everybody's into this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think this country is about doing what's right. I think it's going to have to just be the numbers.
Okay. Yeah, frankly. That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, I wish.
I really hope that the Democratic Party finally realizes that, like, black people matter in a way that, like, we're not going to just pay attention to them in an election year.
Yeah.
But actually do things that are important.
Yeah, like, maybe just give us the right to vote again.
Yeah.
That would be great. If we all could just vote easily, like white people.
Yes.
Then it would be a different world because so much about this country is just about keeping black people in check.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we need to end the filibuster for.
Yes. Oh my God. The filibuster. Yeah. If we didn't have a filibuster, we could really change policy.
I mean, the filibuster has been a tool of white supremacy from the beginning.
From the beginning. That's why it was created. Yeah. It's wild. Yeah. That's a big one.
We have a long list of things to accomplish in the next 4 years. And not all of them are going to happen, but we need to prioritize which
ones
are the most important.
But there is hope, because to me, ranked choice voting gives me the most hope.
Yeah.
If people can pick who they really want as their representative and not just the lesser of two evils, like, yeah, that is revolutionary.
And not be shamed into, like, you're throwing away a vote.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would be that fucks the game
incredible.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah, that would literally change the
game. Change everything.
Yeah.
I would like to see a renewed focus on right-wing terror.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, clearly the DOJ needs to, like I've been saying from the beginning of this episode, we need to nip the shit in the bud.
We absolutely do, and we're not doing it.
Yeah. But not just QAnon and like fascists, but we also need to stop like terrorists that are going in and shooting up schools and churches and shit too.
Yeah.
And there is a way for the DOJ to
monitor that.
Monitor that, yeah, and stop it.
Break
but
up
we're
their
just
networks.
Not trying.
No. I want to see Facebook broken up into a million pieces and scattered into the wind.
Biden is not going to be doing that, but it looks like Elizabeth Warren is going to try her damnedest.
I think it's possible.
Yeah, I do too. Why is she not president?
Because she's too much about the right.
Yes. Yeah. Doing the right thing.
Doing what's right, which is anti-American in a lot of ways. I did say we need a public option, but that is a fantasy.
I think that's...
I mean, we need it, but we're not getting it.
Out of all the things that I mentioned, that's the one that he hasn't even done. Out of all the executive orders and executive actions, he has done nothing on the healthcare front other than his COVID
the vaccine.
But that has nothing to do with our healthcare system. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that, like, we can do it on a state level. Like, doesn't Massachusetts have their own healthcare system where... Well, I guess Romney Care, right, was like the whole thing that launched Obamacare.
It's not really a public option, but it's the closest thing that we have so far.
So, like, why can't New York State do that and California do that? If enough, like, left-leaning states did that because that's the right thing to do, that could be big.
Yeah.
New York and California are, like, the two states that are trying to do, well, for the past 4 years have been trying to do the most, like, to protect their citizens against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why not protect our citizens against the healthcare system being a disaster in this country?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. There is possibility for places like New York and California to move a little bit closer to doing what's right. And I think it would be great for the state. It would be so attractive. So many people would move to this. I mean, we've had so many people leave the city because of COVID, but if things could be different and there could be like a real healthcare system that was, I think, free or close to free, that would be huge.
I mean, if it's taxpayer subsidized, it would be cheaper in the
long
run than it having everybody pay individually.
It would be so much cheaper, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Your taxes will go up, but you won't have to pay for health insurance. Think about how much you pay for health insurance right now. Like, you personally listening right now, how much do you pay for health insurance versus how much would it cost you a year if your taxes went up by like 3%?
Yeah.
The difference is incredible. Like, we are throwing away so much money on health insurance.
I know, which makes these insurance companies so against change.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we're getting
they're raking in
the money.
Bajillions of money.
Yeah.
Monies.
They have a lot more than five monies.
I've said this already, but like, now is not the time to be complacent.
Definitely not.
Biden is definitely mind-blowingly better than Trump, but also he's not a saint. He's not going to do everything we want him to do, and we have to hold him accountable.
And I think people on the left, liberals aren't on the left, but like people on the left, they know that we have a politician. We don't have a savior.
Yes.
We're not looking for some Masonic figure.
No, the left is not running around wearing
Biden
blue hats. With,
oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, head-to-toe Biden gear.
Yeah, it's
what?
Not. We've never been about that life. Yeah.
So I think that, people just need to rest up, but also to stay engaged.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do to keep yourself sane. Like, take all the breaks. I advocate for taking huge breaks, frequent breaks, because it is a lot if you're really tuned in and connected and like fighting for things that are pushing the country forward. It's a lot.
Yeah. And now is a good time to take a break because things just changed.
Yeah.
He's already focused on doing a lot. Now is the perfect time to just focus on the good things he's doing and not necessarily really focus on what needs to be done next. But like, rest up and then come back fighting.
Yeah. Make sure that you're registered to vote. I know a lot of, like, we have our mayoral vote in New York this year. And I'm switching my registration back. Sorry, oh, Ohio. Oh. Yeah. I mean, Ohio's a fucking lost cause.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, it's gone.
The smaller elections matter more there. Anyways.
Yeah.
So all of you listening, wherever you live, pay attention to local elections because mm-hmm. your vote makes so much more of a difference in a local election. That obviously this past presidential election was like a huge shift that was very important. But when you're voting for like city council people and that mm-hmm. kind of thing, you have so much more ability to affect real change that affects you personally yeah. locally. Do it.
Yeah.
Vote, y'all.
They know it's what. Right. It does feel nice that Trump is gone, but I want him to suffer. Oh, man.
It does feel different, but I think it's just going to take me some time to get used to having a real politician in office.
I know, and like, yeah.
I expected it to be like overnight, be like, I can sleep again.
Nope.
And nope. My brain is just yeah. hardwired to be on edge at all moments. So
we're all traumatized.
Yeah.
We're traumatized. It's in the middle of a pandemic. We're being left to our own devices to die slowly. Like, yes. It's okay not to feel okay.
Yeah.
And it will take time for us all to kind of relax.
But if we do the work, this will get better.
Yes.
Not just COVID.
Yeah.
Like the entire mm-hmm. country can get better and do better. And
yes.
really great things can come out of this if we
make it happen. We are, you know, by inches getting better.
Yes.
We're doing it.
We have a long road ahead of us. But
we do.
Drink some gin.
Yeah.
Or whatever your tipple of choice is.
Whatever tickles your fancy.
Yes. I'm going to take one more sip. Thank you for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Tux Lurzel.
This is Stephanie Domingo. I had ice in my mouth.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our sound engineer and podfather. We couldn't, we shouldn't, and we shan't.
We shan't.
Without you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn. New episodes are released the first and third Monday of every month. Please note that we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We are on Patreon if anyone would love to show us some love and throw us some nickels to support the production of our show.